Hi, I'm Ed Slott.
And I'm Jeff Levine.
And we're two guys who just love to talk about retirement and taxes.
Look, our mission is simple, to educate you, the saver, so that you can make better decisions, because better decisions, on the whole, lead to better outcomes.
And here's how we're going to do that. Each week, Jeff and I will debate the pros and the cons of a particular retirement strategy or topic, with the goal of helping you keep more of your hard-earned money.
Yeah, but we won't know which side of the debate we're taking until we flip a coin. Winner of the coin flip gets to pick which side of the debate they want to argue.
And both of us will have to argue in favor of our respective positions, whether we agree with them or not.
At the end of each debate, there's going to be one clear winner. You, a more informed saver who can hopefully apply the merits of each side of the debate to your own personal situation to decide what's best for you and your family.
So here we go. Welcome to the Great Retirement Debate.
Well, welcome back to the Great Retirement Debate. Ed, it's good to be with you again.
Great to be back here. I'm Ed Slott with Jeff Levine, and you're listening to the Great Retirement Debate.
You know, I feel like every time you say the name, Ed, it just, the debate becomes greater. I mean, it just, it's good. It's good. Ed, what's our topic today? What are we going to be discussing? What are we going to be arguing about, debating?
All right. A big, big topic, serious topic, long-term care for those big expenses. Do you get a long-term care policy, or do you just try it on your own and self-fund?
All right. Well, let's flip the coin. Here we go. All right. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Ed, I get to pick.
Okay.
All right. And I'll take the side of let's buy insurance, and you can argue for self-funding.
Okay. I'll argue self-funding. Go ahead.
All right. I'll kick it off and just say, like, hey, when we think about things that may happen in life, long-term care or the need for long-term care is really high up there. You know, when we think about, will you get into a car accident this year, Ed? Thankfully, for most people, the answer is no. Will you die this year? Thankfully, for most people, the answer is no. Will you become disabled? More likely than, more people end up needing disability insurance than they do life insurance. But still, the answer for most people is that they won't need it. But when we talk about long-term care is one of those things where you are more likely to actually need it at some point than not need it. You know, thanks to our incredible medical advances and longevity getting pushed out, we now have situations where people are living a lot longer, but for many of those individuals, a lot more of those years require some additional form of care. And that care can be all over, right? It can be whether it's just a little bit of home health care, up to and including, you know, skilled nursing facility, all of which would qualify as some form of long-term care.
Yeah, it's just about a certainty. It's not if, but when, you know, if you're going to live a long time. These things are so bad now. I got to tell you, over the last, I'd say about 10 years, it's not unusual to see tax returns that claim over $100,000 of medical expenses, whether it's nurses' aides or nursing homes or modifications of homes, ramps and railings and chairlifts and stair lifts and bathroom and kitchen modifications.
Well, Ed, you know, I'm building a house as we record this, and in that house is going an elevator for my...
An elevator.
That's so right, for my, for my nonagenarian grandparents so that they can get around.
And these are big ticket items. So there's no question it has to be planned for. So why would I take the side of self-funding?
Well, I was just going to ask you that. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah. So I acknowledge the problem. And in fact, anybody that's watched any of my programs or been at any of my seminars, I always talk about having funding for long-term care. I just don't agree with the actual long-term care policies. Not that I don't agree. I don't really understand a lot of the policies. It seems like the current policies, I'm not talking about the back ones. My mother had one from 20 years ago. It's the best thing we ever had. It paid like crazy in her last years. But the more recent versions where the insurance companies have tightened up and realized, oh, we can't pay all of that amount out. So they've cut back. They've increased the costs. I don't see the certainty there. So I believe in the need. I think it can be done a different way. even though I'm arguing on the side of self-funding, I'm not really calling it self-funding. In other words, it can be done through different means. It has to be funded, but maybe where you're in more control. I'll give you one example, life insurance. I have this for myself and my family. These cash value policies, a lot of the new ones are these hybrid type of policies that have long-term care riders. And if it's needed in its most simplest form, you're in essence taking an advance on your life insurance. Yes, the children will get less, but they won't have to dig into their pockets every month for your care. Nobody wants that. So I think that might be a better way, if you're insurable, not everyone is, to fund it yourself.
No, it's an interesting argument. I give you two counters to the thought of maybe purchasing a life insurance with long-term care hybrid type of policy versus a traditional type of long-term care policy. The first is, it's never going to be as good. Maybe three reasons. A, it's never going to be as good and as cost-effective if you need long-term care as a true long-term care, kind of like the car insurance version of long-term care, right? Pay a premium. If you need long-term care, there's a benefit. If you don't, you've paid.
Oh, don't tell me you're going to say only pay for what you need.
Well, no, I'm not doing one of those car commercials. No. But what I am going to say is that you and I are tax people, right? We're tax nerds at heart. And there is no tax deduction for the premiums you pay for those life insurance with long-term care policies, whereas there is a federal deduction for, or at least the cost of a long-term care policy, depending upon how old you are. There are different federal amounts that can be deducted each year as a qualified medical expense. So it may help you to increase your itemized deductions and thereby actually defer some of that cost if you're able to itemize and if you're able to take those medical expense deductions, which admittedly, and I'll throw out one for you here, Ed. I know you've got to have more than 7.5% of your AGI. So some people may not get that. And even if they do, they may be limited by the overall standard deduction,
right?
Because that's higher. But for a lot of people, that can help to increase their overall deductions and thereby minimize the cost. The other thing, though, and I think my bigger issue with those type of policies is that it actually creates a disincentive to use the insurance that you actually bought. So, Ed, if you were... let's share some back history here. I said I was building a house. You've built a house before, but it's the house you already had, right? You had to rebuild a house years ago when Hurricane Sandy came in, right? And destroyed, unfortunately, the house. I remember going in and opening a drawer with you, and all of a sudden water came out like one of those, one of those movies.
Well, water everywhere.
Yeah, there was more than a drop to spare at that point. But you didn't think about whether to call your insurance company, right? You just did because you paid for that insurance over the years. And if you didn't call, you weren't going to get a benefit. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair, but that's a different kind of insurance.
If you buy the life insurance with long-term care kind of hybrid, it almost creates a disincentive to use it. For instance, let's say that you have an IRA that has $1 million in it, and you also have $1 million life insurance with long-term care product, right, associated with it, where you can use up to $1 million over a period of time to cover the cost of your long-term care. Well, if I had a traditional long-term care policy, as soon as I needed care, I'd be calling the insurance company and saying, send me my money, because if I don't use it, I lose it, right? But with the life insurance and long-term care policy, if I don't use it as long-term care, it's there for life insurance. And so I may be even more tempted to, let's say, use my IRA to take that out, because that IRA may be, if I'm using it, let's say for a nursing home and I'm paying $100,000 a year, almost all of my distribution will end up being deductible. And that could end up, creating a situation where I burn down my livable assets during my lifetime or for a spouse, because I'm using my IRA because I want to leave the tax-free life insurance. If I don't use it for long-term care, it becomes tax-free life insurance, where if I leave my IRA, it's taxable. So it almost creates this like weird disincentive to use the insurance that you just bought.
Oh, good. You just made my argument for self-funding. Of course, if I had the IRA, I would definitely use that IRA. because that, I mean, you're getting the money out at full deductions. Yes, if the money is big enough, you will get big tax deductions. And that's the best thing you can do. You're getting rid of that otherwise taxable income on money that has to be spent anyway for medical bills. So why not get a big tax benefit out of it and bring down the balance on that IRAs? This way, the beneficiaries, if you're so worried about the beneficiaries, they'll get better money. If you don't touch the life insurance policy, you're right, there's an incentive there. If you have both, if you have the traditional IRA and the life insurance policy with the long-term care rider, you're better off using the traditional IRA, getting the tax deductions, and leaving your beneficiaries that windfall they get from the full policy amount, the policy proceeds at death, which haven't been hit for the long-term care payments. So they're going to end up in a better shape. But if you're listening to this, which you are, if I'm here talking, you should always do what's best for you. People ask me that all the time. I said, don't worry about your kids. They're going to be fine. You have to take care of yourself first. So if I was their advisor, I might say to take down that IRA first anyway for the tax benefits. They might like to hear that the kids will get more, but then they'll keep building more of that cash value for themselves. And if they need it for their own care and retirement, they can take it. Or for other reasons, they can tap into that cash value, which is just going to grow the longer they don't use it.
Well, again, I think those are all fair arguments to make. But Ed, let's think about what happens when you actually need this cost of care, right? We said it could be pretty expensive. One of the insurance companies out there, Genworth, each year runs a kind of an annual cost of care service. We can put the link to that that site in our show notes here for folks. The monthly median cost for 2021 for a semi-private room was about $8,000. Now, that's about $8,000, but that includes high cost of living areas, low cost of living areas. If I take an area, let's say, where like close to your neck of the woods, Ed, and we put that in and we say, how much, you know, would that be in a particular area, like in a New York area comparatively, right? That becomes just astronomical. We're talking about over $12,000 a month. That's $150,000 a year. Even if you've accumulated a good amount over the course of your lifetime, that could very quickly erode your portfolio. If you're married, does your spouse have enough income? And of course, once you need it, then it's too late to get it, right? The idea that, you know, and here's one other thought for you, Ed. Some people may be fortunate enough. Well, I don't know. I guess you can look at that as two sides of the coin as well. They're fortunate enough not to need long-term care for a long time because they go in and they pass, or much less likely they end up not needing long-term care, right? Most people, once you need long-term care, you need long-term care, and that's going to be that way forever. About 20%, according to recent government research, and we can put the link to that study in our show notes as well, about 20% of people will need that care for more than 5 years. So there's kind of this long tail risk where, you know, if you have, let's say, Alzheimer's or some other cognitive decline where, you know, your heart works great, your body functions fine, but maybe it's just a situation where, you know, you need help because of cognitive decline, or there's just a serious physical injury that is not life-threatening. It just means you require a lot of care. You could end up needing long-term care services for a decade in some cases or more.
Yeah, well, I agree. It has to be planned for, but I'm not sure, seeing the current types of long-term care policies out there, whether you would get all of that without paying a fortune. And every story I see recently, I'd say going back the last 5 years, when this comes up, they're all the insurance companies are going to the state regulators to raise their premiums. And then it comes to a point where people are starting to say, I can't afford the long-term care insurance anymore. I'll just wait. And that's why I would take the idea of self-funding, but planning for it, not having it, but self-funding by planning in other ways. Life insurance is one way, may not be the only way. Building up a large IRA may be a way. And if it happens, it happens. But you don't have to come up with the money until it happens.
Yeah, I'll throw maybe one more out there. And that's the idea that if you buy certain types of insurance, you may be able to protect additional assets. So of course, if you find yourself in this situation, right, where you do need long-term care or a spouse needs long-term care, in most places, in most states, and Medicaid is a very complex program. Right. It's a state and federal partnership. And so the rules vary dramatically sometimes between states and different locations. But in most places, you have to spend most of your own assets and the assets that belong to your spouse, right? Income is generally looked at individually, but assets are generally treated as though they belong to both of you. And that can, you know, if you run out of money, if you get to the point where you are so low in assets and income that you now qualify for Medicaid, you know, in some places, the care you receive may not be as strong. Right. And one of the best things about some insurance policies, in some states, they have these what are called partnership programs, where if you purchase a qualifying long-term care policy, the state will actually allow you to keep more of your own assets. In other words, you can go on Medicaid sooner with a higher level of assets, and that will protect more for, let's say, a surviving spouse. Then if you don't buy these long-term care policies, you may have to dwindle down your assets to, you know, pretty slim pickings at some point.
Right, but you could be dwindling down your assets just paying the premiums every month over a long period of time when you didn't need the money, when you didn't need the care.
Well, that's true. But you know, Ed, you make a great point there, but I will make the counterpoint. And I always like, I talk about this with Social Security as well. People say, well, what if I die? And great. So you died and you didn't run out of money. Like here. All right. So you paid, like, do you walk around every year going, oh, shucks, this year I didn't get into a car accident and I paid all that money for car insurance? Or, oh man, I'm hoping for, do you hope for another Hurricane Ed so you have to rebuild your house again so you can call the insurance company? Yeah.
Nobody wants that. But you have to look at how far your assets will go and when to spend them down, I guess, is the real answer. Do I want to spend them down right now, monthly payments, while I can get the policies? Because if you don't do it while you're healthy, it's almost impossible. Once the situation occurs where you need long-term care, it's going to be very difficult to get it, even the way I'm saying, through a life insurance policy.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's one of the best points we could make, is that if you're thinking about this, doing it while you're younger, while you're healthier, can be a pretty powerful thing. And I think while as we come to kind of the end of this debate for today, I would be remiss if we didn't, even though it's to the point of maybe more self-funding, I'd be remiss if I didn't really hit on the issue of that, and you touched on it before, of people going back to the insurance regulators. So as many people know, you know, insurance is kind of, is a regulated thing. You have to follow state guidelines. There are some federal laws as well that can apply in certain cases. But when we're talking about long-term care insurance, generally someone can't say like, hey, you were healthy years ago when you bought this policy, but now you're not. And so now we're going to increase your premium.
Oh, that's not what I was talking about.
Correct. Right. I just want to make sure that people understand that.
No, but I'm talking about regular cost increases because the costs are going up.
And in most cases, insurers kind of, I don't want to say they promised, but they strongly hinted that their premiums may not rise. But costs are so much. So insurers have kind of been hit by a almost like a trifecta, right? People are living longer. We've got costs of care that have dramatically risen, that have outpaced inflation. So people needing care for more years, that care is more expensive than ever. And the other thing that it goes into this is that interest rates have been low. So the insurance companies, years ago when they bought these, you know, when they took in these dollars and said, hey, we've got to save these dollars and grow them for the future amounts we'll have to pay out, they assumed that they were going to be actually generating some sort of real interest on them. And for a really long time, interest rates have been pretty low. And so insurance companies in large respects haven't made near the returns that they were counting on for years. And so we do see that a lot of times where they go back and they will be able to increase for everyone in a certain class, like all 45
year old people. You don't have stability in your monthly expenses. I guess that's what's bothering me. about paying it out monthly. But the bottom line with all of this, I think we both agree, it has to be planned for and prepared for, because at some point it could be a likely thing in your life. So however you prepare, whether it's the self-funding through IRAs or life insurance or actually going out and researching a long-term care policy, something should be done while you're healthy enough, like hopefully right now, to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think without a doubt, when you create your retirement plan, it's understanding what the impact would be if there's a long-term care event or need and how that might impact. Look, if you, I'll make the extreme example. If you've got $100 million in the bank and you want to self-insure, okay, fine. That would be just fine. But if you have a scenario where, you know, you've got $1 million or so, and you know, having that long-term care need could mean a spouse goes from living in a really nice apartment to living in a not so nice apartment, or from driving their nice car to never having another car again. You know, that's something you want to be aware of. And so just running the numbers, crunching the numbers, I think is probably the critical element here, and just understand how that would impact you. And then from there, whether you decide to insure, self-insure, whatever it is there, it's up to you. Agreed?
That's right. That's
all right. So we actually agree on something in this debate. That's fantastic. And with that, Ed, this is obviously a huge topic, because most people are likely to need long-term care at some point in their life, especially if they're fortunate enough to live those long lifetimes, right? If they don't pass away early, which certainly we would hope. All right. Well, Ed, you know, there are two sides to every coin, but your life and retirement decisions are too important to leave up to a coin flip. And that's why one thing that you and I always agree on is making sure that you're talking through any big decision like this with a knowledgeable financial advisor or tax professional, so that you can weigh the pros and the cons of different options against your specific goals and objectives. If you'd like to continue the discussion with Ed and I, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to Ed on Twitter using the handle @TheSlotReport. That's @TheSlotReport with two T's and slot, or you can reach out to me using the handle @CPAPlanner. If you've think we missed something, or you think a particular side of the issue is more important, or you just like to suggest a topic for a future debate, let us know. Let us hear from you. And until then, Ed, always fun, always educational. I know every time we chat, I learn something new in myself. So thanks, and look forward to our next debate.
Okay, Jeff, I'll see you on the next Great Retirement Debate.
Jeffrey Levine is Chief Planning Officer for Buckingham Wealth Partners. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be construed as specific investment, accounting, legal, or tax advice. Certain information mentioned may be based on third-party information which may become outdated or otherwise superseded without notice. Third-party information is deemed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The topic discussed in corresponding arguments are those of the speakers and may not accurately reflect those of Buckingham Wealth Partners.